Welcome to the Passion Over Profits podcast with Top Son Goku, bringing you your weekly dose of Dragon Ball Super Collector's content. Stay tuned for exclusive interviews with some of the most knowledgeable DBS collectors in the community.
What's up, guys? My name is Top Son Goku, and welcome to another episode of the Passion Over Profits podcast. Today, I want to talk about the market. I think it's a very relevant topic today. We're in a very, very, very interesting time today. It's very exciting, to say the least. Before I go any further, this podcast is primarily for people that are not too used to analyzing the market or thinking about the market too much. We're, collectors, and I think that talking about the market is just very, very relevant because, we use the money to build our collections, and if that collectible is suddenly 50% cheaper, that is a very relevant topic to talk about. So just in this episode, I just want to paint the picture of today's market and share my analysis of what happened in the past, maybe like the past 5 years or so, and maybe also give some predictions for the future as well. As collectors, we're heavily, heavily impacted by how the market goes, and so it's only normal that is something that we talk about, and this is exactly why I want to record this episode. I think we live in very exciting times. Right now, the market crashed at about 40% on all TCGs combined, and also cryptocurrencies as well. It's shocking how the curves look exactly the same, and probably other assets as well are crashing right now. But I'm just not aware of these, so I'm not gonna talk about those. I mean, this is a crash, right? This is a crash. You see prices drop massively. The definition of a crash is that prices in the stock market go down for more than 10%, and now we're definitely more than 10%, and it's in a very short period of time. So we're definitely in a crash, and I want to say that this creates, lots of opportunity as well. Most cards in the main TCGs, if you ignore, of course, the few exceptions that are low pop with high demand, are much, much cheaper now than a few months back. So the market, the prices went down gradually over the course of 2 to 3 months, but at a high pace, and are still going down today. So lots of cards are for sale. You see people panic selling left and right. It's like every other collector and their moms are trying to sell off slabs, trying to cut their losses. This is really accelerating the crash, because as so many people are panic selling, trying to cut their losses, they are getting desperate to try and sell their cards. Now it's really the time to kick back, chillax, and see how the market goes. You can probably, there's no fear of missing out anymore, because you see a card for sale, you could definitely just say like, hey, the price is a little bit high, I think. I'm just going to see what happens. And chances are that the next day you will find the same card for even cheaper. So no fear of missing out. I think it's a great time to, think about your collection, reevaluate your collection goals, and start, buying the cards that are very special to you. It's time to accumulate, I think. Now, if you're clueless of what I'm talking right now, I mean, I'm just gonna give you an example, because some people seem to still be living in January, February 2021, and I cannot believe today's prices. So to give you an example, in February 2021, the Awaken Power PSA 10 sold for around $10,000. That was basically the fair market price in February, $10,000, and whereas now it is selling at around $6,000. So this is definitely a 40% decrease in just about 4 to 5 months. This is insane, especially for such a popular card. And I just use the Awakened Power just because there's just so much volume of sales to look at. It seems like this card has been sold every week or so for the last months and months, so it's very, very easy to evaluate its value, and I think there's a high enough supply and demand for this card to say that this reflects the overall market. Now, having cash on hand right now for such opportunities is key, but unfortunately, lots of us got burned with the high prices of, you know, January to March. We got stuck in the hype and we purchased cards that were, you know, too expensive. And it, you know, that's very easy to say right now after the market crash, but during the hype, the fear of missing out is so important. You're like, shit, man, if I don't buy this card right now in two months, it might be, you know, twice as expensive and I will, you know, have missed the boat. But right now, as everything crashed, it's just so easy to pick up, you know, the cards that you were very interested in. And, you know, this is also exactly why the crash is going so fast, is because people are out of cash and they want to, for one, they want to cut their losses. But second of all, they also want to have cash on hand for, you know, the cars that they really want. And so you see people left and right trying to sell their slabs for cheap. This accelerates the crash. But yeah, it is what it is. If you have to sell a few cards to be able to, you know, buy the one grail that you were after, then I mean, it totally makes sense. Now, if you're someone that, you know, got burnt during the last hype like myself, I did definitely buy cards on the higher side. My mentality is, you know, if it's fair market value, I will happily pay market value for cards that I'm that I'm chasing, right? Because I don't want to pass on too many opportunities, you know. But looking back, I'm like, I probably could have, you know, held back a little bit on some cards, but it is what it is. And now I'm in a position where I would definitely love to have more cash to, you know, take the opportunities that come my way right now. But you know, let's try to at least look back at what happens and hopefully learn from this experience to hopefully be able to avoid this in the future. Hopefully we can avoid to having to experience this over and over again at each hype season. Now, before we go any further, I just want to say thank you so much for listening to this episode. I really appreciate you. I feel privileged to be in the position where I'm in, able to, you know, share my passion with you guys and feeling heard, because lots of you reach out to me saying that they love the podcast. And if you get any value out of these podcast episodes, make sure to, you know, share the podcast on social media and tell me what you think. Also, if you have any suggestions for the podcast, don't hesitate to DM me at TopSunGook on Instagram. I will happily listen to what you have to say. In these solo episodes, I really try to, you know, condense my thoughts in a somewhat more structured manner. I want these episodes to be short enough for you to be able to listen to them again if you feel like it, because, you know, rambling on for 2 hours on an episode might not be as valuable for you as, you know, a somewhat shorter, more condensed episode of, like, let's say 30 minutes. So I definitely want to keep making these solo episodes as well, because I'm able to, you know, get the crap and just say what I have to say. Okay, enough about that. Let's talk about the market. I'm just going to start with the basics, because as I said, I think this episode is probably more geared towards those that are not really used to analyzing the market, not really used to looking at graphs and stuff like that. So I'm just gonna, you know, cover the basics before we go any further. Okay. Number one is that we collect shiny cardboard pictures. That's basically it. And we buy, sell, and trade them. And naturally, that creates a market. And my understanding of a market is that it is set by the balance between, you know, the amount of demand on a certain card versus the supply of that card. And the higher the ratio between supply versus demand, the higher the prices will be, and the more people will have to fight over the cards, right? So the average price that people are willing to pay for a specific card will be referred as market value, right? The average price of that specific card. And market value is a measure to assess how strong the market is, or how weak it is, or how slow it is, or whatever. So prices are based on supply and demand, and so that is definitely key. And another way to think about it is basically that a card is worth whatever people are willing to pay for it, right? That's what it boils down to, is the price of a card is whatever people are willing to pay for it. And how much sellers are also willing to let go of it, right? Because you might have a card and you're like, no, in my opinion, it's worth more. And the buyer's like, no, and then the sale won't go through, right? So it is definitely a balance between what people are willing to pay for it and what sellers are willing to let go of it. So let's talk demand for a second. Some cards are definitely rarer than others, and that is based on how hard the card is to pull out of box, or how much the set was printed also. And, rare cards can be something like secret rares that have a pull rate of like 1 in 12 boxes, 1 in 18 boxes. But they are still, quite readily available worldwide, as product is getting opened everywhere all the time. And the rarest cards of them all are trophy cards, because, they have been printed in a known number, known quantity. Some trophies have like, let's say 64 copies worldwide. Some have only 5 copies worldwide. Some trophies also have just a population of 1, even in DBS. If you don't know about what I'm talking about, look it up. On top of that, baseline rarity, some of us also decide to grade the cards, which allow us to put, a specific value on the card based on condition and proof of authenticity. When you grade cards, you trust a third-party company like PSA or BGS to evaluate the condition of a card and put a number on it. And 10 being, the best, most valuable condition, and 10 being the poorest. And a very appealing part of grading is that the company will usually keep track of all the graded cards and their condition, and publish the population report, aka the POP report, which show exactly how many copies are available on the market in a specific grade, right? The specific condition. Some PSA 10s are readily available worldwide because maybe the card wasn't that rare to begin with, and lots of people wanted to grade it, or just because the print quality was just exceptional. The card was printed exceptionally well, and all pack fresh copies are basically PSA 10s. So you will see population reports of certain cards with very, very high PSA 10 ratios compared to lower grades. You can see this, for example, with Awakened Power, where there's, I want to say, 80% of all Awakened Powers graded at PSA are PSA 10s, something like that. And I think Apex of Power is even way better. Like the card quality of the Apex of Power is just insane. It was printed exceptionally well. So these are easy to grade and tend to be readily available on the market, which means it has a high supply. Now, of course, these cards are super popular, so the demand usually exceeds the supply, and they will usually balance themselves out in such a way that these cards are still fetching thousands upon thousands of dollars for a PSA 10. On the other hand, some PSA 10s are just extremely scarce because maybe the card was just super rare to begin with, or the card was just never printed that well. The printing quality just wasn't good. And example of these in DBS of cards that weren't printed as well as others is, for example, the signature hit of Assault of the Saints. There are about half as many PSA 10 hits than there are other signatures of the same set, like the Vegito, the Gohan, and Trunks. And that is because every single hit that I've seen personally, I've seen about 10 to 15 hits so far, and they all have a specific indent on the back. And this just Yeah, I mean, even my PSA 10 has that indent. It's just very, very faint. But you know, most hits will have an indent that is too much for these cards to get a PSA 10. Another example of this is the Ultimate Force SSB Vegito, the first secret rare of our card game. It has, you know, it was the second set. It was the printing quality wasn't as high as it's right now, and the card has also lots and lots of gold foil. And pack fresh, the gold foil will have, you know, scratches, print lines, scuffs. So you see that the, I think SSB Vegito has about a 40% PSA 10 rate compared to, you know, the Awakened Power with 80% PSA 10 rate. You can definitely see why the SSB Vegito is creeping up in price, creeping up in popularity, and is, I mean, it, there is just the supply is just not really there, and these rarely come up for sale. Now, these cards are, you know, not necessarily that rare. It's just that the printing quality isn't really there. But other PSA 10s that are very, very scarce are trophy cards, of course, because these cards are definitely rare. And in order for you to be able to buy a PSA 10, man, you just have to be lucky that a collector is or a player is willing to let go of the card. Okay, let's try and move on to the next topic. I know I haven't spoken about reprints or anything like that, but let's just move on and look back at what happened this year with the hype and the crash of the market. Because there are many factors that influence the supply and the demand of cards, and that just led to the market, you know, changing drastically. In 2020, COVID-19 hit globally, and it was declared a pandemic, right? And so big parts of the world were basically in lockdown for months. People were stripped from their usual forms of entertainment. So no movies, no more eating out, no parties, no trips, no shopping, etc. So the pandemic led a lot of people to be home in front of their screens, and this in turn brought so much more attention to all kinds of hobbies. And this also included, of course, card collecting, like Pokemon and DBS. And Pokemon actually blew up so much in popularity that a lot of hype actually bled out to other TCGs as well. And this is when I started collecting, you know, Dragon Ball Super. Also, another factor besides just having a global pandemic is the implementation of, you know, stimulus checks in some countries, which made people suddenly have more disposable income than they would normally have, and they would put that in cards, of course. So all this made the demand aspect of the market grow tremendously, and prices shot up really fast in 2020. It's insane. It went super fast, super high. I've never seen prices this high, and it's possible that we'll never see prices go this high ever again. Also, something that really put oil on the fire was, you know, the never seen before demand of grading cards. During lockdown, PSA was, you know, unable to accept submissions for a few months, and when they opened back up again, they got slammed by cards. You know, during the lockdown, people got exposed to their childhood hobbies, looked into card, hey, grading exists. And so during that period that PSA was, you know, unable to accept submissions, people really just accumulated so much cards and sent them all back to PSA in 1 month. Like in May 2020, I cannot imagine how much PSA got slammed by cards all of a sudden. And so PSA accumulated such a massive backlog in such a short period of time, and demands actually kept on going after that as well. So May was their biggest month yet. Then it was June, then it was July, then it was August. It just kept on going, kept increasing exponentially. And it came to a point where they intentionally had to shut down new submissions to even try to, you know, cope with the demand and fulfill the orders that were already at PSA. I actually missed the February 2020 deadline to submit some cards. I actually wanted to, you know, try submitting cards myself. I never had done this before, before that time. And so I missed the February deadline, and then PSA closed for 2 months. And the first month that was possible for me to submit my cards was May 2020. I am still waiting on that May 2020 submission. I still haven't gotten my cards back from May 2020. It is insane. PSA is unable to cope with it. I honestly don't know how they could do it better, because they have been trying to, you know, hire more graders, you know, expand. They kept on expanding. They kept on, you know, finding new ways to grade cards, because they implemented Genemint as well. So the AI to hopefully grade cards more efficiently, so more graders, more space, and so on and so forth. And yet they are still unable to fulfill their orders in a somewhat acceptable turnaround time. I am still waiting for my May 2020 submission, and as of today, we are the July 22nd, 2021. And mind you that back then in February to May 2020, it was you know, the average turnaround times for economy submissions was 3 to 4 months. 3 to 4 months. This is what I expected when I submitted my cards. I expected my cards to be back, you know, after the summer 2020. We are now summer 2021, and I still have no clue where my cards are. So yeah, PSA is unable to cope with it. It is insane. There's an insane boom of demand in terms of grading cards, and I think that's only normal. So yeah, the point I tried to make here was that PSA being unable to cope with the insane boom in demand, and them having to shut down, and, you know, turnaround times being so high, it's actually lowered the continuous supply of graded cards on the market, right? The continuous supply of graded cards in the market compared to the increased demand of them was so out of balance. And as if this wasn't even enough, you know, on top of all that, we saw a wave of people entering the space, trying to profit from the hobby, you know, buying up products, creating artificially low supply to flip later for profit. So on one hand, we had lockdown and stimulus checks really dramatically raising the demand. And on the other hand, we have grading companies shutting down, diminishing the continuous supply of graded cards, and scalpers, you know, really doing their thing. So this combo really created an insanity. You know, it created a recipe for insanity. People had to fight to get the cards they wanted for the collection, and we saw cards going up more than tenfold in value just in you know, 3 to 6 months. This is insane. The hype was so crazy. You know, maybe we'll never see this again. It was absolutely crazy. Like, the combination of these factors were insane. Now, as much as we've never seen such a high spike in popularity and prices in our TCGs, we did experience similar times of hype in Pokemon with the Pokemon Go hype, right? It got Pokemon Go got released in 2016, and it was so big that it got a lot of these, you know, 90s kids feeling nostalgic and wanting to experiencing their childhood hobbies again. And at the time, you know, the base set reprint Evolutions got released as the, you know, the 20th anniversary for Pokemon, and which, you know, was again like the perfect recipe for people to, you know, get back in the game and collecting their favorite cards that they had as a kid. So Pokemon Go created a huge wave of new TCG collectors. Now, I have no sales data to look back at for the period before 2016, but after listening to the somewhat more experienced collectors, you know, people that have been around since forever, it seems like there's almost a cyclical pattern to it, where every 3 to 4 years, there's a huge spike and a strong correction followed by a somewhat more boring, flat market for a couple of years. So as just like in 2016, there was a huge spike in popularity, then a crash, like a correction. And after that, the market was just boring for 2 to 3 years. It was flat. So we could speculate that the crash that we're experiencing today might be similar to those previous ones, and that it's likely to happen again in like 3 years or so. So let's say that in 2024, there's again like a huge hype train going on, prices soaring again, people speculating, scalpers joining in, buying a product, fake scarcity. Who knows what's going to happen? Who knows which factors are going to play in? But I speculate that in 2024, there will be again like a huge spike in demand, and the prices will go up. And after that, we'll have a huge correction followed by again a boring market. So how to apply all this to our day-to-day collecting, right? How is this relevant for us? Well, it's simple, really. I think it's a great time to take the time to, you know, revisit your collecting goals. Some things that felt out of reach earlier this year might just be very affordable right now, and it's just the perfect time to pick it up. Most of all, there's no rush. There's no fear of missing out. A lot of people are trying to sell their cards, panic selling, trying to cut their losses. So the supply is very high, and so passing up on opportunities right now is okay, because it's likely that you will have, again, the opportunity to buy the card a little bit later. And so if you pass up, the opportunity today, it's possible that you'll get even a better price tomorrow. Like, I mean, it's crazy. On Instagram, it seems like everyone is doing claim sales, trying to sell off as many cards as possible. You get TOP boxes, you have black labels, signatures, pre-release cards, you name it, it's there, and it's for sale on Instagram, on eBay, on Facebook. It's there everywhere. So the social media is basically, you know, flooded with this new supply of these cards that were held by collectors for so long, and now or by flippers or whatever, and now it's all available. So I think it's just there's just such a huge contrast to what we saw last year. Last year everyone was holding everything because they saw, you know, prices going up, so they were holding and waiting to sell, and it was, you know, that's also very annoying, very frustrating to you know, having your collecting goals and being unable to pursue them because everyone is just holding on to their cards. I remember it took me over 6 months. I think it took me eight months to complete my PSA 10 signature sets. Why? It's because all PSA 10s were basically in the hands of collectors that didn't want to sell, or in somewhat investors that, you know, knew that the prices will go up and were waiting for them to go even higher before they were selling. So it took me 8 months to find decent deals. And you know me, I don't pass up on opportunities, guys. I don't pass up on opportunities. So there were so little opportunities to buy signatures back then. So little. And now today on Instagram, I kid you not. If I wanted to buy 2 or 3 sets in BGS 9.5, I could. In one day, I could. If I had the money, I could probably buy 3 sets in BGS 9.5. Easy. And it was so hard for me to do, to collect the PSA 10 and BGS 9.5 sets. It was so hard for me to do. Nobody was selling anything, so the supply was so low, right? And you know, that's not fun, to be honest. It's your collection is kind of stagnating. It's very, very hard trying to expand that collection. Whereas now, opportunity is everywhere, left and right. It's awesome. At the same time, it's kind of frustrating that I don't have more cash on hand to be able to, you know, really make big moves. And so I hope that some of you guys listening right now do have the cash, you know, in your budget, of course, to buy the cards, and are able to, you know, expand the collection a little bit more right now. Now, a last thing that I want to say before I leave you guys is, you know, don't sleep on great opportunities either. It will be very interesting to see where the market goes in the coming months and years also, because we might just, you know, enter again like a boring flat market again for 2 to 3 years. It's possible. Who knows? But there's no way to buy at rock bottom prices. Let me repeat that. There's no way to buy at rock bottom prices. You'll never know when we hit rock bottom, right? So I'm not saying buy today, but don't wait too long. Don't be sleeping on opportunities. If you buy right now, you are buying the dip. There is no way to know when we hit rock bottom and when is the perfect time to buy. There's never a perfect time to buy. You just have to, you know, take the opportunities when they come. That's basically it. All right. So I think that's all for this subject. It's kind of a more, again, like more of a serious topic. So I hope this was somehow valuable for you guys, somewhat entertaining as well. And I look forward to, you know, talking about this in length with some friends on the podcast as well in future episodes when I interview them. And I think it will be interesting to see, you know, the point of view of somewhat more experienced collectors as well. I will also be talking about grading companies more in detail, because there's a lot going on right now. We are experiencing somewhat of a crisis for graded cards, because it's just so hard. There's so much the few very elite grading companies are just being slammed, and it just become so unrealistic for me to grade a $10 card with a bulk submission, because who knows when the bulk submissions will be opened again and at which prices. We don't know. So I will definitely be having such conversation with some of my friends in the future episodes. The next episode will actually be on the topic of Super Dragon Ball Heroes cards, because yes, we are all Dragon Ball fans, but there's not only just the Dragon Ball Super TCG, there's also an arcade game card called Super Dragon Ball Heroes, and I will have an expert come to the show to talk about this. So stay tuned for the next episodes, and talk to you soon, guys. Take care. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Passion Over Profits podcast. Please subscribe and stay tuned for more DBS collectors content. Interested in which guest we're having next week? Find out in the next episode of Dragon Ball's Passion Over Profits. Yes, Passion Over Profits.